and said, I it occurred to me as I was running the lineup down with Dave that we weren't going to leave Brooklyn for the first 90 minutes today.
That's really amusing.
It is.
Yeah.
It said we had a you know, a bittersweet, obviously, visit with Garrett O'Rourke yesterday, and Garrett's long career at Judmont, Empire Makers, his favorite. And so, it, you know, it, obviously, with this passing, it you know, brings out all the memories, and you talk about his, you know, his incredible dam and the family and the racing career and Bobby Frankel. I mean, there's so, it's such a rich tapestry that, you know, is tied to just one animal.
It really is.
I read Chris McGrath's piece and I was anxious, you know, to hear your, you know, your reaction as a whole, and I think you knew that something was amiss a couple of weeks ago, because as somebody who books mares to stallions, you had been informed that that Empire Maker was not going to be available this year. I mean, talk about him leaving, about him returning to North America, and his legacy.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Gainsway had let people who booked to the horse know about it some time ago. And so it gave people time to rebook their mares, but it was, you know, it seemed dire at the time because it wasn't just the horse would start late or there was a problem that, you know, he wouldn't get going till later on, but rather that it was he'd be unavailable for the whole season. So you knew then, you know, something was up. I was at Gainsway last week. I saw Tappet. Somebody had asked to see Empire Maker. Obviously, they weren't going to do that. So, within Lexington, there'd been some chatter about it. It had been kept out of the press. But, obviously, I certainly didn't know how dire it was to the extent that he was going to be put down. So that was quite a shock. It was a horse that started off, obviously, at Judmont. And Garrett O'Rourke came home to where he'd been bred. Was, you know, actually doing pretty well, although his stud fee had dropped. And they got a good offer from Japan. Khalid Abdullah is, and that organization, they run a really a tight ship in that, you know, the bottom line is attention is paid to the bottom line, and it was such a good offer that they had to take it. He went there, and in the Chris McGrath article, he touched upon the fact that for Judmont, I think Dr. John Chandler had mentioned in that article that Judmont had come to realize their turf mares really weren't working for that horse. Turf, he got some winners on turf, but he was primarily a well-known dirt horse, even though his dam Toussaint and the family, you know, obviously a Judmont family that had done well on turf. The Sire unbridled, primarily an American dirt horse, as was Empire Maker. And so when he went to Japan, Steve, five seasons in Japan, the environment there, which is the top races, although it's 50-50 dirt and turf in Japan, 90% or 88% of all the graded races are on turf. And Empire Maker really didn't do much on turf over there, which Judd Mond knew before they sent him over there. And in the interim, while he left, of course, Royal Delta and others appeared on the scene. As we always talk about, as soon as you leave, you know, you have another rebirth. And that prompted the people from Arras, Don Alberto, and Gainesway to go into partnership to bring the horse back. And that doesn't happen a lot from Japan, but it did here. He came back, and because of the success he'd had here while he was gone, he became, you know, instantly commercial here, standing for, you know, I think 85,000. And his first crop of two-year-olds since his return raced last year. And, of course, he had such good success with that Bob Baffert G1 winner leading that group. So everything seemed to be working for that horse. And unfortunately, you know, his time came too soon. His real lasting legacy will probably be Steve as a broodmare sire. His daughters should be particularly appealing to Tappet and the Tappet line. And Tappet, of course, is at Gainesway, and was one of the reasons I assume that he fit coming back. And I think down the road he's going to continue to be so influential as a broodmare sire. The sire line started off huge here, obviously, because his son Pioneer of the Nile is, of course, the sire of American Pharaoh, who had such a great season last year, Triple Crown winner, and then led the first year won the first year sire championship last year. However, Pioneer of the Nile died, a big blow, and the other good horse he had as a sire was Bodemeister, who got Derby winner Always Dreaming, but Bodemeister has since been sent to Turkey. So what you've had are his two major sons here are no longer here. So that's why, I mean, he himself will have a lasting impact, probably to his daughters, unless, you know, some of these horses from his crops here will hopefully produce some other potential male heirs down the road. However, his grandson, American Pharaoh, I mean, he looks like he's well on his way to becoming the heir to this Empire Maker legacy, which is, you know, terrific.
There's a couple of other names that'll trickle down too. Cairo Prince, of course, and Classic Empire, Midnight Storm just getting started, Sky Kingdom. So there's about half a dozen. And then, you know, the other part of this equation, there's four crops that are going to be, you know, ruminating here and growing, and
there's
chapters yet to be written.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the grade one winner Baffert had will be on the Triple Crown Trail this year. And there's still stuff to come, no question about it.
You know, that element that McGrath introduced in that piece, a TDM, I thought was a bit of a revelation about how Judd Mond recognized that Empire Maker was not going to click with their broodmare band. But then at the same time, you see, you know, the residual decision of Gainesway that because of his broodmare sire strength and mm-hmm. the tie to their roster, and you know, principally to the, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in Tappet.
Right.
So it's just funny how the fashions and, you know, the ebbs and flows of you know, a stallion career and a stallion strength, or perceived strengths or perceived weaknesses, kind of determines, you know, where things go. I thought that the little story that Garrett told yesterday, and I asked him what prompted the move to Unbridled with Empire mm-hmm. Maper, because Toussaud had been paired with Mr. Prospector, which produced Chester House, Seattle Slew, right. Honest Lady, Distant mm-hmm. View, DeCarchi, then mm-hmm. Gone West, got Civilization, who Garrett explained was a problem, you know, another problem child out of Toussaud. Woodman got Chiseling, and mm-hmm. so a sixth different cover in six seasons. And he told that story about looking over at Carl Nafsker's barn and seeing Banshee Breeze.
Yeah, and that's how he. That's a great story.
Tremendous, and that's how he landed. Then they took her to Seeking the Gold, then to King Mambo, and then to AP Indy. But Empire Maker was her last, you know, big success. Right. You know, in that run of just of, you know, four Grade One winners out of five foals, it's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And of course, they have, you know, several mares that could be in a Hall of Fame. She's one, but yeah, what a terrific breeding operation that is.
And I also I know you didn't get a chance to listen to him, but I did ask him, did Judmont take any mares to Empire Maker at, you know, I mean, obviously it's, you know, years removed mm-hmm. from, you know, and lots of different things have happened. And, you know, did you take any mares to him while at Gainesway? And Garrett laughed and he said, no, Prince Khalid is a, I never even broached this subject. and he said it never came up in these 4 years that, you know, should we take so-and-so to you know, to get Empire Maker? I got a big kick out of that response. That told you a lot about how Khalid, you know, runs
yeah.
that operation.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's the Unbridled line, the stallions there, as related to Judmont. They had Empire Maker, and he really didn't click with their mares because Judmont wants to bring mares, wants to race horses in Europe as well, even if they breed them here. They have a division here, but they've got mares that they'll bring here to breed to Kentucky Stallions to get foals to go back to Europe. And so it's interesting because they've had an association with this line. First, well, there was Empire Maker by Unbridled. They had First Defense by Unbridled Song. He's now in Saudi Arabia. Empire Maker was sold to Japan. And now, last but not least, hopefully, they've got Arrogant, who's by Unbridled Song. So they've had a steep investment in this line. And I'm sure Khalid Abdullah and Garrett O'Rourke are hoping that they'll finally send the ball over the proverbial 400-foot wall with the Arrogant finally, you know. And so if they do have a mare, that's the stallion they would be investing in from that line.
And on that topic, I did ask Garrett, I said, how much of the experience with Empire Maker has shaped the approach that the farm is taking with Airgain, and he said substantial. That's one of the reasons that I think the Judmont operation has been so successful, so consistently for so long in the two different international arenas, because he's somebody that's willing to learn from mistakes and to morph the business and adjust on the fly. And, and then the other part of this, Sid, that really we knew about it with Frankel, that the Prince had wanted to, name a horse for Bobby that was going to be exceptional. But it really the same scenario was applied with Empire Maker too, that they used that name. He went with that name based on expectation, and so often those hopes are fruitless. And in the case of Judmont, they really delivered on the promise on both continents.
Yeah, they did, and an interesting point related to something you just said. They hoped with Empire Maker that he would be successful here and in Europe. His success was mainly here, which is i.e. dirt. He got turf horses as well here. But the progeny they took to Europe didn't quite work. And the unbridled line has had a history of that, Steve. It's interesting, however, that Coolmore banked heavily on Empire Maker's grandson, American Pharaoh, working on turf and dirt in Europe and here and everywhere, and that's actually been the case. American Pharaoh looks like he's going to be the breakout horse for this Empire Maker / unbridled line. On turf and in Europe and internationally too. That so far, that's been the signs. Those have been the signs of what we've seen last year in Japan as well. Ironically, the American Pharaohs have been running on dirt, where that's a primarily turf graded country there. Although it's, as I said, 50-50. But it's really interesting that Empire Maker may end up being that unbridled line entree to Europe and turf, which is something they wanted to do, and it's happening a generation or two later now with his grandson.
Well, Empire Maker, do you have any specific tales of success with matings that you were involved in?
There have been some stakes winners. We've recommended him when he's come back, so there's some to come. In the early years, there were a couple, I can't recall off the top of my head, but we had clients that we did recommend the horse to. And he was really popular. And he got very good mares early on, but it's specifically, I can't think of anything offhand that was exceptional. But since he's been back, we have recommended him because it's hard to ignore the body of work he had here between the time he was sent to Japan and the 5 years later in which he was brought back. One of the reasons, as Chris McGrath pointed out in his article, one of the reasons he was brought back was because he really was not that good in Japan. So that allowed this partnership to be able to bring him back.
Well, from a racing standpoint, involved in a very memorable Triple Crown sequence, and of course, delivering Bobby Frankel a classic win and his first. There was a lot about him that was really appealing. He was a friendly horse. Garrett stressessing that a lot of what his what was celebrated, what's been celebrated about American Pharoah and his personality and how easy he is to be around. Garrett attributes to Empire Maker's makeup, and horses that are kind and easy to work with. That helps. I mean, we certainly went a long time with Stormcat progeny, and to a degree early on with the Tappets that are a little tempestuous, but Empire Maker, the name is going to be indelibly etched in the stud book, obviously.
No question about that.
A lot of people's memories. I got a question, kind of a follow-up. We got about 5 minutes, Sid. Dr. Alday is actually going to join us and hopefully explain a little bit about the immune system attack and uh-huh. how what happens in that scenario. And this family actually has had the one, not that it's a knock, but the one thing about Toussaud that is, I'm going to ask Steve about this. You know, Chester House died of cancer. Chisling had a neurologic condition, you know, kind of like like the wobbles, and now here another, you know, oddity, and so you just wonder about, you know, a certain, I don't know, a strain of some ilk in the family that could also just be, you know, dumb luck. As a follow up, though, for us, Sid. Mm-hmm. Considering that Empire Maker was going to be 20 this year, our friend Glenn Atkinson, who breeds, he's wondering if your thoughts on the produce of older stallions. And he cited Stormy Atlantic, for instance, who continues to produce at Hill and Dale. What's your take on stallions when they, you know, when they hit the, you know, the 2-decade mark?
My personal view is that I don't believe that there's any lessening of quality. Maybe if there's a drop in production, it's because they tend not to draw some of the better mares. Stormy Atlantic is a great example of a horse that we recommended for Tracy Farmer. What's that graded winner from last year? Neptune Storm, was it?
That's
Neptune Storm, I believe, is a Stormy Atlantic. Yeah, he was a 3-year-old last year. Bred by Tracy Farmer, was a mare we had recommended for his young mare, Immortal Life. That horse, I think Tracy was able to get a very inexpensive stud fee at the time. A horse we recommended has gone on to become a multiple graded stakes winner, earned, you know, whatever, $800,000. And there's a case in point of recommending an older horse. We recommended also the Tracy Awesome again for La Grande Belladora, who produced Sir Winston. The knock has been, and of course, fertility is a different matter. I'm just talking about quality. Aging stallions will tend to lose fertility, which causes breeders pause, and they'll send, they may send mares that aren't the best, because anytime a horse has fertility issues, that'll happen. But given, say, that there's nothing wrong with the fertility, usually what happens is older stallions just don't get the types of mares because people are looking at younger horses. I don't believe there's any intrinsic drop-off. Some horses, for whatever reason, haven't perhaps produced at the same level, and there could be various reasons for that. Northern Dancer kept getting, you know, great horses. I think particularly for an owner breeder, a good older horse is great value, and I'd highly recommend, you know, using them, and we always have.
Nice. I appreciate it. I know we've touched on that here and there over the years, but you know, as long as I suppose, as long as the percentage of mares that a stallion gets in foal, I mean, the first indication of any issue is, right, would be the motility and
yeah, sure. And once you start getting into the fertility, there's legitimate, you know, anyone is wary of going to a horse's fertility is on the wane. No question about that. But in terms of a horse with decent fertility, I have no qualms about using him.
Nice. I appreciate it. I'm sure Glenn does as well. Good question, Glenn. Sid, we are starting to get interesting, and we didn't talk about the result at Fairgrounds. We'll save the LeCompte winner and his pedigree. We'll do it with the winner of the Smarty Jones next week.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Outstanding. Sid Fernando, everybody. Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And you get a hold of Sid as we inch closer. Now we're what? We're 3+ weeks away from the opening of the Stallion Barns. Get a hold of Sid. Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111. 510-490-1111. And, of course, follow Sire Watch. Utilize the Enix system and can work with Sid to get a mare compatibility. Still time, and some of your, you know, we're going to see what your mare delivers and then, you know, maybe go from there. But Sid is happy to help you shape your broodmare band and get the most out of your breeding operation. Sid, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Sid Fernando. Taking a timeout, 15 to the top of the hour. Dr. Stephen Allday, first visit of the year, is going to walk us through this week's two big stories. And, of course, last week, the investigation conducted by Dr. Bramlage into Mongolian grooms breakdown, some of the contributing factors. Let Steve riff on that. And we'll see what he can tell us about a horse's immune system and what attacked Empire Maker and what claimed him. Dr. Stephen Allday. Next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
But I saw a girl brought to life. She was warm, she came around, and she was dignified. She showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that girl I adored. You don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. But I don't know her anymore. There's nothing where she used to lie. The conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith.
We're back at the races. This is how I feel. 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Norm Cassie is going to join us in a little bit, and Seth Merrow before we wrap up on this Wednesday. Plus, we'll look ahead at what's going on. Kind of one of those funny weeks with the Monday racing, so some of the venues waiting until Thursday, even Friday, to race. Always pleased, even under these circumstances. Two tough topics, but always happy to bring Dr. Stephen Allday in. Horse Health Today, brought to you by Luberson and Reborn. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, Steve.
Dr. A joins us, and Steve, two topics that tailor-made for your expertise, and we talked obviously after Breeders' Cup. You had very pointed thoughts about the Mongolian groom situation. We'll come back to that in light of the report that was issued last week with some very frank conclusions, but I first wanted to cover the Empire Maker passing, and I still have not seen a specific disease cited. It's just being referred to as an immune system, immune deficiency attack, essentially, and that claimed him. What can you tell us about that kind of an illness in a horse?
Well, I've been looking for it as well, and mainly because I've been breeding, a number of mares to Empire Makers since he came back to the States. I always liked him as a sire to begin with. I think he became literally one of, if not the best connection to stamina and speed, in the game as a sire. So, we bred to him, we bred to Pioneer of Nile, and we've had some success. We've had some nice babies come out of there and made some pretty good commercial sales, and we had a baby that yearling this past year that we sold out of a Smart Strike mare that's from a good family, and that was my Empire Maker, and he bought $425,000 on opening day, book one, or second day, book one. But anyway, combined immunodeficiencies can be genetic flaw, and then there's, you know, both two different types, cellular and humoral media immune system. What actually is causing it? Obviously, there are a number of different disease processes that can, you know, attack the immune system. It's a laundry list, and, you know, so therefore I'm not going to go into that because we don't know which one it is. And obviously, whatever it is that does that fights their ability to you know, ward off any type of even normal or even a low-level infection that would not be, you know, innocuous under most circumstances can become extremely, you know, virulent and deadly, potentially deadly. And in this case, obviously, whatever it did must have, you know, crashed his immune system enough to where he probably succumbed to something that he no horse would probably normally succumb to. You know, it's a shame, 20 years old, really had a few years. I was trying to, you know, breed some more mares to him and, you know, get some, hopefully a filly or two and maybe get lucky. But as it turns out, we're not going to get that. So really not much I can add to that. I wish I could, but it's a little bit of a mystery and they're not really releasing it, Steve. It's a problem.
Well, and, you know, the first thing that kind of sticks into my head as, you know, with the limited, I mean, we've talked about so many different kinds of things that can be mysterious in a horse, but as an animal, Steve, that grazes, and if we think back to the epidemic of the red bag foals that ended up being the, you know, the woolly worm caterpillar ingestion, there's a story this week about I'm going to forget where it happened, with horses ingesting beetles, beetle infested hay, and it killing a dozen horses. In a grazing animal, given things like Rhodococcus and the kinds of, you know, the kinds of naturally occurring dangers that are out there on the ground, a horse whose immune system is compromised is going to be, you know, is going to be very much at risk.
Yes, most definitely. Like I said, it would be nice to know what the actual, I mean, more than likely, whatever the horse succumbed to was not the actual disease itself, but obviously that particular disease set the immune system up for not to be able to fight off either something that was a normal contaminant that most of the time is innocuous, like we said, or, you know, he picked up some sort of virulent strain of something, you know, that he could have fought off if his immune system was intact. But bottom line is we've lost him, and that's probably the thing, you know, from there. It'd be nice to take more away from it, but I just don't think there's enough information right now.
You know, and I guess it's a kind of an epidemiologic conversation, but it's hard, Steve, not to look at three of Toussaud's offspring. That now here's this situation, and of course he's a horse that, you know, had spent, you know, years in Japan and then come back, and you know there's certain dangers and challenges in that. But Chisling died of a neurologic situation, like a wobbles, and Chesterhouse had cancer, and you put those three things together. Those are three unusual circumstances to claim the offspring of one mare.
Agreed. You know, it's hard to really, you know, but it's hard to get your head around it. But you know, the fact that one was, you know, a neoplasia of sorts due to whatever that Chesterhouse passed from, a neurologic, you know, not necessarily could be related, probably isn't. And now, you know, essentially a disease process, you know, I mean, on a horse that's 20, I mean, nothing really out of the ordinary. And everything succumbs to something. But, you know, like I said, I know Chesterhouse passed at a fairly young age for a stallion, and looked like he had a chance, you know, to have some sort of a career, you know. And then, of course, obviously, the mare was a phenomenal race mare. I remember I talked to Bobby about her one time, said she was, you know, kind of a very, very weird mare to get to the lead. And, of course, I thought we got beat a bunch. And yep. he said that's when he put Eddie Delahoussaye on her. So, you know, so she was a little bit of a quirky mare. Maybe she's, you know, maybe it's just coincidental that her foals die of such strange circumstances. But, they, you know, it is a little, you know, it's a little puzzling. It's a bit puzzling.
I've asked you this before, and a lot of this came out of our own experience losing our Disco Rico baby to Rhodococcus. But what precautions, and of course, you've got the colostrum product, which boosts the immune system. So this is an area that you have a great understanding. I mean, what are there regular protocols in the diet of any kind of horse, whether it's on the racetrack or later on in second careers, or, you know, even in dotage and just later on when they're, you know, when they're retired and in their 20s? Is there a series of products that you can help boost their immune system? You know, we see these yogurts, you know, and there's a lot about, you know, keeping the flora in humans, you know, keeping it active and, you know, the good bacillus. I worked for Dan in yogurt, so I know a tiny bit about it. But what sure. about in horses and helping them, you know, keep their immune system healthy?
Well, yes, it is. Number one, the gastrointestinal tract is the largest single organ that is part of the immune system. Typically, you know, between the respiratory tract and the gastrointestinal tract, somewhere on the order of about 90%+ of all disease processes that get introduced to any animal or any mammal, for that case, essentially will be introduced via the gastrointestinal. You'll either swallow it and it'll go in your GI tract, or it'll invade your respiratory tract via the respiratory epithelium or the gastrointestinal epithelium. So, you know, essentially, you've got to, you know, keep the GI tract, you know, very, very in balance. And when you get out of balance due to antibiotics, due to stress orders or stressors, you know, that being something unique to the individual, essentially, you'll throw the protozoal, gastrointestinal, bacterial counts out, and you will compromise them or allow them to be compromised as far as the ability for certain, let's say, gastrointestinal viruses, things like this, to invade, and also other things, protozoans, diarrheas are caused, whatever. So obviously, these things need to be kept in check. You know, we utilize, obviously, injections. You know, there's certain type of bacterial cell wall injections that have been shown to elevate the immune system. Certain wormers have been shown in the past to have an effect on the immune system in horses and or, you know, other livestock. You know, so there's a lot of things that we look at and to try to maintain. You know, obviously, good husbandry, good vaccinations, things like this, of anything that emerges and or things that they could be exposed to that could set up housekeeping and create a second, you know, lots of problems. Something on the lines of Reborn as well is a really, really good product for that. It re-epithelializes or helps promote the regrowth of the gastrointestinal epithelium. It will deactivate and inactivate a number of organisms and on both the respiratory and the gastrointestinal tract. So, yes, there are things that we can do and do use routinely, especially, let's say, like you said earlier, newborn foals, you know, because if you want to boost that immune system, we give rhodococcus serum, you know, the plasma, things like this to these foals right after they're born because it's worth the investment. You want to try to make sure that immune system has as big a jump as it possibly can. The combination of that with the oral administration of some, you know, immune system medication like Reborn's a good thing too. So, combination of all these things work good together.
Well, a little bit for those that are curious about what may have happened and how, you know, this issue it raises its head on a fairly regular basis. Horses are, you know, they're apt to ingest all kinds of things, and they've got it. They're just like us, just like babies, right? The babies, that's why you protect your house and you secure your house from babies putting things in their mouth too. It's there's always some danger lurking. Steve, let's turn our attention to last week's release of the report on Mongolian Groom. And Dr. Bramlage, obviously thorough with this investigation, very frank. I think everybody understands that, you know, things can get missed. You were very outspoken about this in November. Have you had a chance to go through the report and get a feel for what this pre-existing condition was and how it might have been missed?
Well, it's that particular horse, you know, I mean, I agree with a lot of things he said in there. You know, but I did read all 25 pages and then also the stuff at the end there, you know, that they just went through how things were supplied, whatever. You know, yes, he showed evidence. The horse, this particular horse showed microfractures and evidence of damage in his hind cannon bones. And obviously there was obviously demonstrable lesions in his, in the normal, or the one that was still did not break down and didn't suffer a catastrophic collapse in the right hind. But, I mean, I disagree with one thing. I mean, in my experience, you know, over the last, you know, 35-plus years and working with a couple of, you know, the pioneers of lameness in a lot of respects, you know, I'm not a big believer. I mean, I think there are things that occur in both limbs, yes, no, without a doubt. That's demonstrable. But in my opinion, the reason why the one broke, the one fractured, the other one didn't, is because one was more advanced. And I think, you know, I think that our ability to, like, realize and then look at, like, say, the fact that that horse had a video done of him 2 days before he ran a mile quarter race and he was basically visibly deficit left hind, you know, should have been more than just a flag. And, you know, I mean, it just, it's really, I mean, you know, he keeps pointing to the fact that they were 99.6% accurate in their descriptions of the horses they pulled and the horses that they allowed to race, you know, save Mongolian Groom. And the problem is, you know, the 0.4% that you were inaccurate on is the one most telling, no different than, you know, the one that they, that I bet Jerry Hollenbrook would like to have the one back he worked at, on the training track at Santa Anita that caused him to get ruled off or barred from that particular racetrack, you know, and that was only one of maybe thousands of horses this guy started in his career. But the fact is, you know, we are at a point where it's zero tolerance. So you can pat yourself on the back, you know, that you get, you know, 99.6% of the time you're right. But the fact of the matter remains is that as professionals that are licensed and we are the overseers, you know, the one that we're going to have to pay the price for, the one we're going to be, you know, on call for, the one, you know, that you basically, you know, are going to have your integrity question and your ability to observe and make the right call is the one that didn't get by your measures, your standard of measure. And, you know, unfortunately, we're at a point where I know that the fact that, you know, there is a zero tolerance, you know, in the fact that the public has realized that, you know, this used to be the sport of kings and, you know, the rich basically controlled it and they kind of like said what did and didn't go. Well, I think the thing that should be in the back of everybody's mind is the fact that, hey, they got rid of dog racing in the state of Florida and the public voted it out. And therefore, if a proposition is, you know, on a ballot and the public has its say and the governor's willing to sign it and it has plenty of political backing, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many billionaires play your game. You know, if the state, essentially by the plurality of the voter, votes it out, it's gone. And, you know, don't believe it, call up the guys that used to have greyhounds in Florida and see what they tell you. You know, so therefore, you know, a pat on the back's a great thing, instituting this sort of thing, but you got to remember, this was an outlier. This is the situation was. You had a large staff of people that were dedicated to observing, examining, rechecking, you know, diagnostically working up and getting records and, you know, working on a large group of horses for a period of 2 days. This is not the norm. This is not what happens, you know, 99% of the time or 99.9% of the time. This is one event, okay? Now, the problem is the public says, well, you had all these people and you had, you know, all the expert, whatever, and so one still slipped by. What happens when there's all these people aren't there and there's only a very, very limited staff of both the practitioner and or the state people and the racetrack people that observe, and you don't have 50 outsiders there at the same time, you know? Well, you know, then, you know, what is your, you know, what is the, you know, your normal standard operating procedures? How are you going to overcome this? You know, how is this not going to be slipped or missed? No different than, you know, I mean, he can give you every analogy under the sun, but the fact is, no matter how you cut it, that one got missed, okay? So the analysis of how it got missed is the excuses, you know, essentially that he had bilateral lameness problems and that it couldn't be detected. Well, if it was that's the case, then why was he limping around on a video a couple of days before? You know, because I didn't hear that really get addressed, except for the fact that they acknowledge that it exists and that he looked like he was off left bearing. But then let's sweep that under the rug. Let's just talk about the fact that nobody could see it when they jogged him and flexed him because, didn't show you via demonstrating lameness when, or exaggerated lameness when that occurred. So,
well,
you're just going to accept the fact, well, this is just a small percentage of the loss that we're going to have to endure. Well, no, that's great. If we can endure it, the public apparently doesn't like that thought. It doesn't like that approach from what I'm gathering.
Well, and that, I think, essentially, you know, as you kind of summarized there, that's what was so just shocking about this. You know, not that a horse can go wrong, but that under this much scrutiny and with you know, so many pre-race you know, daily evaluations, you know, a horse was presenting like this, and apparently the video, you know, the video that so many people cited later, that they saw that, and you discussed too, and at the time, you know, that it sure looked like he was off. The fact that somehow that escaped being brought to the attention of any of the parties involved. I mean, that's what I think is so maddening about this. You know, from a specifics standpoint, and the biggest part of Dr. Bramlage's report centers on the actual injury and how, you know, how the, as he terms it, the dominoes fall. And there's a couple of questions out of that, Steve, that I think you can, you know, uniquely address. For starters, the fact that these were in the hind, it is a little interesting, just because so often the vast majority of breakdowns occur in the forelimbs as opposed to the hind. And when it comes to detecting micro fractures, you know, there's hope that you know, some of this technology and some of the scanning equipment that that Santa Anita has brought in will give advance notice. How practical is that? And you know, how quickly can a micro fracture be detected with the scanning technologies available?
Well, they can certainly find it. You know, it's just you know, what you come up against is, you come up against a high level of resistance, and there's got to be, you know, the people that are making the call have to have the constitution and enough dedication and faith in their diagnostics to say, hey, I think that this can go too far. You know, you got to have a little bit of a crystal ball, but the fact is, if you err on the side of caution, you're probably going to save, you know, quite a few lives. I mean, in this case, it may have been that if they had that sort of equipment, they may have made this call. I personally, I spoke with Bob Baffert after this, and he basically agreed with one thing with me. He says, listen, he goes, I agree with one thing all day. He goes, the lip, you know, there's something wrong. So therefore, like, you know, even if you can't find it, that means, you know, it needs to be found out, like, what it is, or the horseshit room. You know, only something bad could possibly happen from that. I mean, number one, the horse isn't going to run good, I don't think. Okay, I don't have a crystal ball. Like I said, I'd love to say I do, and I've been accused of it, but it's not true. So the truth is, you know, literally, you know, since there's a defect or there's a deficit, and it's got to be from a defect, even if we don't know what the defect is, let's not let this horse run. That's my whole argument. That's been my point. That's what the thing, you know, and that's why being brushed over on this video is like it exists. It's out there. Nobody looked at it, and it's all after the fact. Saturday morning, Sunday or Monday morning quarterbacking. It's been called everything under the sun. But the fact is, most everybody I talked to said, "Hey, that horse appears to have a deficit left eye." So therefore, you know, it's got to be addressed. Something should be addressed.
Yeah, and you know, this question about the scintigraphs and radiographs, and I thought it was interesting that the way Dr. Bramlage termed it, that even looking at those, it isn't necessarily a lameness meter, and so you mentioning that if it limps like a duck, it's a duck. There's a problem. I mean, if a horse is you know, got a hitch in the get along, there's something causing it.
Yeah, Steve, it really comes down to this. You know, I mean, I guess on most of it, I mean, I'm 100% on board. I refer horses to get nuclear scans, whatever. But, you know, I think the thing, you know, the 800-pound gorilla, you know, the thing that started staring at us here, you know, everybody, is the fact that, you know, they just don't want to address the fact that the horse was lame and was deficit left hind. And that's probably where he was more advanced in, you know, and that's just not been admitted to, declared, or whatever. I mean, this is a great thing if you did this 30 years ago and you're trying to explain to the public how these things happen. But we are not. We are at a very, very, you know, tenuous position. We are teetering on the brink where, you know, we are, our industry sits potentially on the side of ruin because of us trying to, like, cover up. And let's be honest, let's be open, let's come out with it. Let's just say, hey, what was there and where it was missed, you know, and not try to point out that, hey, we were 99.6% correct on all the other horses but this one. Well, that's the one you're talking about, the one you're pointing to, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
We're not looking at everybody else because they made the right call on us. You're always, you know, going to be, you're going to have to explain your mistakes, not your successes. Your failures are what people point to, not your successes, as a rule.
Well, and of course, the fact that they restricted the inclusion of what, four others, five others that they didn't let run. I mean, that wasn't even brought into this, surprisingly, to a degree. And then, Steve, also on the hind versus the front, is that just strictly a concussive issue and that, you know, horses, I mean, do they land harder on their front? I mean, is that why? Is there more stress on the forelimbs than the hind limbs?
But typically, yes. But the way it was always explained to me by one of the forefathers of lameness was that the front end was the concussion end, and the hind end essentially got more shear force injury, things like this, unless they got completely overused, and then they succumbed to a fatigue injury. But my guess is if a really good, thorough exam was done on this horse, that you would probably have seen not only something possibly with at least the left hind, but probably something on the right front as well, because of overload left hind and right front. That's been my experience for the last 35 years, okay? And, you know, and then, hey, look, I'm not saying that the right hind isn't there, wasn't there, but We also know for a fact that if a horse stays off one limb, they tend to start overloading other limbs, and that creates more asymmetry. So how do we know that the right hind wasn't nearly as advanced or was there from getting off the left hind as well as maybe something on the right front? But since I didn't examine the horse, and I wasn't there like I've stated before, you know, I'm just guessing at best. I cannot tell you how this horse examined. I just can tell you that 2 days before jogging, He jogged around that race at track at Santa Anita off left hind and was fairly consistent and never really warmed up. And that would be as much of a flag for me if he were my client or if I was an observer saying, hey, there's something wrong with this horse. I mean, because he's jogging around, he's off left hind, and it's consistent.
Dr. Steven Alday, Horse Health Today, brought to you by Luberson and Reborn. Steve, hope it's a great year for you and the family and the business and the roping and everything else. Great to start the year off, even with two difficult to address topics. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Always terrific. And you can follow Dr. Alday on Twitter, Four Legs Doc. And most importantly, if you want to interact with both Steve and with Alex Assinger, thealldayway.com. And it, all kinds of questions about your sport horse, your pleasure horse, your pet, your lawn ornament, whatever it is, whatever kind of horse you got, Steve and Alex will help you. Thealldayway.com. Let's take a break. And, of course, Luberson and Reborn, the products created by Dr. Alday to help not just horses, of course, the HA, the hyaluronic acid for humans too, and your pet, your dog with the hip issue. Canine HA will help him too. Luberson for your dog. Let's take a break and come back with Norm Cassie. Going to join us. And Norm is certainly going to wish Gabby a happy birthday on the air. I guarantee that. But he's also going to take some bows because, I'll tell you, pretty nifty work claiming a horse for 50. Now has won three straight, including the Colonel Bradley Saturday. Back after this, Norm Cassie.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 25 minutes into hour three. Dr. Allday with the always enlightening visit, talking Mongolian Groom and Empire Maker. Right now, though, Norm Cassie joins us, and Norm with a terrific score on Saturday with a $50,000 claim that is absolutely streaking. And there's really a couple of reasons to talk to Norm. He seems on the verge of having a really good year at the helm. But don't blame Rocket's win. And it's also Gabby's birthday. So a chance for Norm to wish Gabby a happy birthday to the entire industry.